How can we rescue Canada's standard of living? I'm Marco Perry. Welcome to the Perry Platform. Reports and studies clearly cite a decline in living standard in Canada, but also around the world, in various countries, including stable economies like America. Right now, I want to identify the reasons for this decline in Canada so we can focus on the crucial part of the conversation, which is the solution. What are the issues? Well, first of all, productivity growth in Canada has stagnated, and it's lagging behind countries with developed economies, and it's been like that for decades. The reasons for this are somewhat complicated. It's partially a fault of our lack of innovative spirit. It's partially a fault of any large productive Canadian companies being captured and bought out by American counterparts. It's partially a fault of our government incentivizing things like purchasing property versus investing in productive assets. It's partially a fault of uncontrolled immigration. It's partially a fault of things like unaffordability and inflation, and other government policies that enable things like oligopolies are doing very little to help as well. Canada lacks investment in non-residential structures, including transit, machinery and equipment, and even intellectual property, something that America has plenty of, for example. We need competition in a variety of industries and sectors, but what do we have? We have a big three, a big four, a big five, in numerous industries that ultimately produce an inefficiency for the consumer, because things like illicit price fixing, things like a reduction of quality, things like a reduction of service offerings end up stemming from an uncompetitive environment like that, and it's being enabled by the government. Whether that's airlines, telecom, banking, we're suffering in Canada by not embracing the free market fully. We also have a pattern of wasteful public sector expenditures, whether it's failed projects, inefficient spending, wasting money on consultants, or simply having backwards priorities. And you combine that with the reality of high taxes in Canada, and we have a very inefficient system, where lots of money is flowing to the government from the pockets of residents, and the government is squandering it. There really isn't an issue of funding, in my opinion. It's an issue of mismanagement and not prioritizing the things that really have to be done to make Canada more competitive and a better place to live. It's also silly how we have very rigid interprovincial trade barriers. We're not benefiting fully from economies of scale because of this. Whether it's tariffs or quotas or import fees, we're not realizing the value of all Canada has to offer, and that's hurting everyone. A study I was reading summarizes our issues very well with this next line. The Canadian problem is that it emphasizes the distribution of resources rather than their expansion. So pause on that for a second. In Canada, we have an emphasis on distribution, or redistribution, if you want to put it that way, rather than an expansion. And I agree with that. We need more. Not to slice the already small pie an extra 12 ways. Also, continuing with that line now, Canada has to focus on short-term consumption rather than long-term investments. That's another issue. We're not willing to wait. We're not willing to invest. We're not willing to reap the future benefits. We just want things now. And we'll definitely mortgage the future as we've done currently, if it means that today will be slightly more rosy. That's a problem. In terms of solutions, it's always struck me that many of these things are obvious, but for some reason they are never enacted. It's not like we're dealing with complicated rocket science and we're trying to terraform Mars. What we're trying to do is make Canada more competitive, and there are many small things that we can do that are going to have immediate impacts. For example, we have to finally learn the lesson that free-flowing money is a bad idea, that printing more currency to the moon is going to have detrimental consequences in the long term. In the short term, during COVID, sure, let's create CERB, give handouts out the wazoo, and in the future, what's going to happen? Inflation is going to wreck everyone. That's a clear example of prioritizing short-term consumption over long-term investment and simple common sense. We can't keep doing that. Second, as a country, we have to separate our economic growth from real estate gains. Real estate is not a productive thing, especially if used as an investment. Canada has to invest in the right sectors and further the right education. It's clear that Canada is not going to benefit from having more real estate agents. What we do need is more engineers, more people in STEM majors, to develop AI technology, cybersecurity. These are the places that Canada has to put its investment money. It's the places that we have to encourage people to get educated in. These are the skills of the future, and these are the sectors that will make us more competitive. Further, we have to tap into Canada's resources responsibly. It baffles me that many people are only viewing the climate change issue as a local one, where they're willing to make Canada highly uncompetitive and ignore the rest of the world. A clear example of this is oil demand. Canada has a surplus of oil, natural gas, and we can become very rich by tapping into that. But what do activists and ministers do? They say no. We're not going to do that because of climate change. Although climate change is an issue and we do have to be wary of the impacts on our environment, what they fail to realize is that the global demand for oil remains unchanged whether or not Canada is filling the void or not. People still need to drive their cars, and they're going to do that whether or not Canada builds a pipeline. What's going to happen instead is that Canada will not be providing it to you. A country that does have high standards, a country that can be responsible, and can benefit from that in a way that's helpful for the world. Instead, other countries, like Iran, are going to fill the gap. And the oil is going to come at a greater social cost. It's truly a situation of the lesser of the two evils, but our politicians can't seem to grasp that. All concerns relating to climate have to be handled at a global scale. Doing things at a local level where Canada only contributes something like 3% of global emissions is not going to do much. This is not an argument for being irresponsible, it's simply an argument for being realistic. The economic gains that Canada would stand to reap from indulging in our resources responsibly would be insane. And keep in mind how I keep saying responsibly, there are ways to do that. We can have our cake and eat it too. Further, Canada has to eliminate these government-enabled oligopolies as we talked about. Whether those are airlines, banking, or telecom, the consumer is paying the price. It's making us less competitive, it's increasing the cost of living, and it's ensuring that innovation has no landing room in Canada. And finally, a prescription that relates specifically to politicians is they have to break away from short-term election cycle thinking, and I know that's challenging. For example, a prime minister term is typically about 4 years if you can last that long. And of course you can run again for election, but if you have projects that require lengthier timelines, you're not going to be able to fix the housing crisis or fix transit or make our economy highly competitive in 4 years. It might take a decade or two. And if you begin the legwork for that, maybe a competitor is going to reap the benefits of that during their term. Maybe there is some short-term hardship that has to be endured for the good of the future. Maybe if you pay a dollar today, you're going to be able to reap $10 in a decade. But it seems like what we're opting for is to receive 25 cents a day and be in debt $20 10 years down the line. That's the thinking that we have because that 25 cents can be used as a campaign promise. It can be used to showcase how well you've done for us in the short term. Everything is short term. That's one of the downsides of the current system that we have, but it's not something that has to be present. The core issue is that politicians feel that long-term thinking is not going to help them. And that's a fault of the people. In a democracy, we do typically get the government that we deserve. We have to show politicians that we are going to penalize short-term thinking and incentivize long-term investments. If we see politicians being selfless, thinking about the future, and we vote them out for that, that's on us. That's our problem. Part of this issue is indeed the politicians, but the other half is us. There is reflection that has to happen on all sides of the equation. Canada should be one of the richest countries in the world. We are the second largest in terms of landmass. We have abundant natural resources. We have a fair system. We have economic incentives. We have laws that people can easily predict, and corruption is not extremely high here. We're a diverse country. We have many strengths. We are importing the best from around the world. And still we are uncompetitive. Still we are stagnating. Why is that? As I said, we all have to reflect. From the government down, we have to get serious about this. We have to be forward-thinking, we have to be innovative, and we have to get our priorities straight. Otherwise, mediocrity is what will be in store. Now, with that, it does bring us to the end of our conversation for today. If you enjoy the content, be sure to leave a review and share to help us grow. And you can find me online at perryplatform.org and on social media at perryplatform. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you soon.